Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Corey Richin's trial starts in just a few weeks. Jury selection begins on February 10th, and right now both sides are in the final stretch fighting over what evidence gets in, what stays out, which witnesses are credible, which ones aren't. The defense says a key witness recanted. The prosecution says the recantation is incredible. Back and forth motions and counter motions, the usual free trial warfare. I got something for both of you. You ready? For the prosecution and the defense. And I don't know who it's going to benefit, but listen up. Depending on which side you're on, or both sides, listen up. And you guys listen up, too, because I really want to get your thoughts on this. Because here's what nobody is talking about. There's a piece of evidence, potentially, in this case that could answer the central question definitively. Not through witness testimony, not through text messages or cell tower data or financial records. Through science, through chemistry. Through a biological record that exists on Eric Richin's body. What question would that answer? What piece of Eric Richin's body are we talking about? Who's not cremated, by the way? The question at hand is whether he was a regular user of fentanyl. If he was, well, that goes to the defense's theory that he's a regular drug user. Not just he used drugs in high school, but that he was actively using this. Or he wasn't. And getting poisoned by six times a lethal dose of fentanyl in one sitting was an extreme outlier for his body chemistry makeup. How do you find such information? Hair. Hair follicles. Hair doesn't lie. Hair doesn't recant. Hair doesn't cut details for leniency. And modern forensic technology can read it like a diary. And you know what we haven't heard about in this case? Hair. We're going to get into this. Your thoughts in the comment section on our Substack, hiddenkillers.substack.com, or on our YouTube channel. The links are in the description. While you're at it, hit subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast, or if you're watching us, find us where you get podcasts and press subscribe wherever it is. So hair's not part of this trial. Hair's not, we're not like sitting here discussing evidence that's about to be admitted. Unless we just don't know about it yet. But as far as we're aware, this is not something that's been brought up. Other than here on this show. And maybe they thought of it. Maybe they thought, well, yeah, it might be so. The implications to either side are quite dramatic if you were to get something like this admitted in. Here's how it works. Your hair grows about a centimeter a month, roughly half an inch. As drugs circulate through your bloodstream, they get incorporated into the hair shaft at the follicle. And once they're in, they're locked in permanently. The hair keeps growing, pushing that chemical further from your scalp or your body. But the drugs stay fixed in the matrix. It's like a tree ring, Yeah, you cut a 90-year-old tree up and you see the rings. You can see the damage that may have been done to that tree over the years. You say, oh, look, somebody hacked into that tree in 1842. You know, it's a record. It's a record that through some testing could show drugs staying fixed in the matrix if they exist. Which means if you cut a strand of hair into segments and you test each one, you're essentially looking at a timeline. The segment closest to your scalp tells you what was in the system recently. The segment further out tells you what there was months ago. For fentanyl specifically, hair analysis can detect use going back 90 days or longer. Sometimes months, sometimes years. Blood and urine only show you a window of days. Hair shows you history. And here's the part that matters for this case. Forensics labs can distinguish between chronic long-term use and a single acute exposure. If someone had been using fentanyl regularly for weeks or months, you'll see the drug distributed throughout multiple segments of hair. A pattern of repeated exposure. But if someone was poisoned, a single massive dose with no prior use, you'll see fentanyl concentrated to just one small segment near the root, representing the final days of life with nothing in the segment before that. Now, hair analysis isn't perfect. Growth rates vary between individuals. Labs have to account for external contamination. Hair color and cosmetic treatments can affect drug incorporation. But for determining chronic use versus acute poisoning, segmental analysis is well-established forensic science. This isn't experimental. This is used in criminal cases worldwide. Lab tests for fentanyl itself, for non-fentanyl, which is the primary metabolite, and for 4-ANPP, which is a biomarker that indicates actual ingestion. The recovery rates on these tests are above 84%. The science is solid. So let's talk about what we actually know from Eric Richin's autopsy. He died March 4th of 2022. According to the charging documents, the toxicology found approximately five times the lethal dose of fentanyl in his blood. And according to prosecutor Brad Bloodworth, yes, that's his name, his gastric fluid, his stomach contents contained 20,000 nanograms per milliliter of fentanyl. That's an almost incomprehensible amount. The medical examiner determined it was illicit fentanyl, not medical grade, and that he ingested it orally. The autopsy also reportedly found quantipine in his stomach. That's an antipsychotic medication that Corey had a prescription for, which she allegedly told investigators was for sleep. Eric did not have a prescription for it. Now, if you're looking at a murder trial and the person that's dead has a prescription in their system that's not theirs, that's for sleep, you know, sometimes people share prescriptions. Sometimes people are down with OPP, other people's prescriptions, is of course what I'm talking. What do you think I'm talking about? Are you down with OPP? Are you down with OPP? Yeah, you know me. With OPP? Yeah, you do. I don't think it was originally other people's prescriptions, but in this case, it is. So is Eric naughty by nature and taking Corey's prescriptions to sleep better at night and really took way too much fentanyl on his own accord? Or did Corey give him a sleep prescription and a bunch of fentanyl, making her naughty by nature and making him down with OPP without him realizing he was down with OPP? Yeah, you know me. If you're like, what the hell are you talking about? Go to Spotify, search Naughty by Nature and OPP. You can thank me later. So what did the investigation not find? That's the question. Any fentanyl in the home? The pills allegedly used to kill him were never recovered, never tested. No drug paraphernalia, no evidence of ongoing drug use in the residence. A search warrant came up empty. Now, the defense has characterized Eric as a partier, someone who loved a good time. His good time mean he's down with OPP. In court filings, they've said he consumed alcohol and THC in any form. Big difference from fentanyl and THC. All right? If you're not a user of THC, marijuana, and you're like, well, that seems like quite a gateway, it's not. Plenty of folks use, you'd be surprised. Plenty of folks are using THC all the damn time, and they're not at risk to suddenly start getting down with OPP. The judge is still deciding whether evidence of Eric's drug use in high school may have or may be something that they can show the jury. We're talking decades ago. Decades ago. It tells us absolutely nothing about whether Eric Richens was secretly using fentanyl in the weeks and months before his death in 2022. You know what would? Hair analysis. But do we want to open Pandora's box? Does the prosecution want to open that door? Does the defense want to open that door? Do we all want to pretend that that magic door number 3 doesn't exist, even though it's right there? And it could really answer a lot of questions. Now, of course, you'd get one side's expert witnesses saying how unreliable the test is, and you have another side going how accurate it is, and then the jury has to decide who to believe. But at the end of the day, you got science. If forensic testing of Eric's hair showed no prior fentanyl exposure, fentanyl only in the segment representing his final days, with clean segments going back weeks and months, that would be devastating for the defense. It would indicate Eric was not a secret fentanyl user. It would suggest this was acute poisoning, not an accidental overdose by someone with a hidden habit. It would undercut any reasonable doubt narrative about Eric somehow self-administering a fatal dose. It would support the prosecution's theory, a single lethal dose administered without his knowledge. But, sorry, I hear my dog down there chewing on something and I needed to make sure it wasn't a cord. Yes, let's not eat the cords. If his hair showed chronic fentanyl exposure, the drug distributed across multiple segments, a pattern consistent with repeated use over weeks or months, that could be a defense home run. It would support the narrative that Eric had hidden opioid use. It would open the door for an accidental overdose theory. It would seriously undercut the murder case. It could explain where the fentanyl came from without Corey being the source. Either outcome would be significant. Either outcome would move past the speculation. So why hasn't this question been answered? Why hasn't it been asked? There are things we don't know publicly. Was Eric buried or cremated? His obituary was handled by Walker Mortuary in March of 22. From what we understand, he wasn't cremated. Buried. And his remains could theoretically still be exhumed for testing. Hair analysis has been performed on exhumed bodies years after death. The keratin matrix preserves drugs even as the rest of the body decomposes. And the Dr. Harold Shipman case in the UK, morphine was detected in tissue from exhumed bodies, and that evidence helped convict a serial killer. But here's the uncomfortable reality. Neither side may want this evidence. If you're the prosecution and you're confident in your circumstantial case, the text, the financial motive, the witness testimony, the timeline, hair analysis is the unnecessary gamble. If it shows any prior fentanyl use at all, you've just handed the defense their reasonable doubt on a silver platter. Why risk it when you think you can win without it? And if you're the defense and you believe Eric had a secret fentanyl habit, this could prove it. But the hair comes back clean. If it shows no prior exposure, your entire partier narrative collapses. Your client's best argument disappears. It's mutually assured destruction. So both sides stay silent, at least publicly. Both sides appear to prefer fighting over witness credibility and circumstantial evidence rather than seeking a definitive answer. The judge is ruling on whether Eric's high school drug use can come in. High school. Not the months before his death. Not the period that actually matters. And that silence should bother everyone following this case, because here's what a jury deserves to know. Was Eric Richens a man who was secretly using fentanyl and tragically overdosed? Or was he murdered by his wife? Hair analysis could answer that. Not with speculation. Not with testimony from witnesses who may have motivations to lie. Not with recanted statements from a drug dealer who was detoxing during his first interview and now claims he sold oxy, not fentanyl. With science. With chemistry. With a biological record that either exists or once existed inside Eric's body. The defense is currently arguing that without placing fentanyl in Corey's hands, the state has no case. The prosecution is arguing that the constellation of evidence means motive, opportunity, toxicology still supports murder. There's a piece of evidence that could clarify this debate entirely. And in the public record, nobody's asking for it. Robert Krauser, the alleged drug dealer, has become the most contested witness in this case. He originally told police he sold fentanyl to Corey's housekeeper. Then in April 25, he told prosecutors he actually sold OxyContin. He says he was detoxing during that first interview and was out of it. The defense says this eviscerates the prosecution's theory. The prosecution says his recantation doesn't withstand scrutiny because nearly every pill on the street at that time contained fentanyl. And round they go, like the horses on the loo. But none of that back and forth would matter if we knew for certain whether Eric Richens had been using fentanyl in the weeks before he died. The answer could be in the hair. Or it could have been. Eric Richens' hair may hold the answer to whether he was murdered or accidentally overdosed. The question isn't whether the science exists. It does. The question isn't whether it's reliable. It is. The question is whether anyone involved in this case is willing to ask for it, or whether both sides would rather leave the most important question unanswered because they're afraid of what that answer might be. Hair doesn't forget. Hair doesn't negotiate. It doesn't change its story depending on who's asking. The truth is likely still out there. In the ground, waiting. The real question is whether anyone actually wants to find it. Your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube or our Substack. I'm really curious. I want to continue this off the air. Give me your insight. What do you think? I get why each side doesn't want to touch it. If I have a hard time believing no one's thought of this yet, but who knows? It doesn't come through my mind until it was brought up to me the other day, too. It's like, oh, my God. So I wanted to throw it into the conversation, into the ether. There it is. Ball's in your court, everybody. Give me your thoughts. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart. Take us with you on the go so you can listen to our reporting in your car, on your phone, wherever you may be. We're beyond just the videos. So please do check that out and press subscribe, especially Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review if you're finding our reporting valuable. We do greatly appreciate that. All right. Off the air it is to continue the conversation. I will see you there. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.